I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
All right, it's Touche. It's Monday night. Lots to talk about. Wow. Dave Lundy, Chris Veronis in for Chris Roebling. Good to see you guys. How are you?
Justin, good to see you too.
All right, gentlemen, let's get right to it. I mean, we don't limited time. I feel like we could do 4 hours on these topics. And let's start with the Supreme Court nomination. The Democrats have secured enough votes to block a Supreme Court nomination of Neil Gorsuch. Not surprising, but a little, I mean, you know, they should be able to push a nomination through with the actual majority there. What does this mean? Let's start there before we even get to the nuclear option.
Well, first of all, I was surprised. I did not think Democrats were going to be able to hold a filibuster majority or a filibuster proof number. I didn't think that because, you know, Gorsuch is ranked as well qualified. And historically, you let people like Alito and Thomas through, and we have in this country. But I think that it's this is just revenge for Merrick Garland. I mean, this is, you know, you denied a guy who was universally qualified, that everybody loved, that had gotten unanimous support. And now here
except
we are.
Except from Chris Veronis.
Revenge. I think this is a Hail Mary pass that no one thought we'd catch. Nobody.
This is the third line, right?
The election. There was a vote. Everyone thought Hillary was going to win.
Yeah. Including you and me?
Including you and me.
Yeah.
And so there is no question that Neil Gorsuch will be in the court. The only question is it going to take 51 votes or 60 votes? And you know what? I think some of the best insight to come out of this whole thing comes from Claire McCaskill from Missouri, who said, what if we wind up rejecting Neil Gorsuch and the filibuster goes away? You know, right now you've got Scalia for Scalia. But what happens when you have Scalia for a Ruth Bader Ginsburg,
right,
who gets sick or passes away,
yeah, but you're
or someone
have
who
that,
retires?
But you're going to have that anyway.
But you, what you're looking at right now, Dave, is not only losing the battle, but the war. Because
but that's,
you've
that's
got
great,
three justices who are nearing retirement
but,
age.
But you can make the same argument here by enacting the nuclear option, which seems to be the move for Mitch McConnell, by bringing that in and setting precedent at the Supreme Court level. And let's say that the next president is not of the same party and gets the opportunity, or yeah, let's say that the Senate, yeah, is not of the same party. They're going to use the same thing. I mean, it's a slippery slope in which the Senate, you're right. Yeah, this
you're
is
right.
What scares me. I mean, is it worth sort of as American citizens to start sort of taking words out of Senator McCain's mouth, saying this is the end of the Senate?
Well, here's the thing. If the filibuster is hanging by that small of a thread, it's already gone. It's if you could just eliminate it by saying, you know, that's it. We can always go nuclear. Then you have no filibuster.
Well,
then
Harry filibuster Reid never had a problem.
No.
Rid of it for the federal judges.
No. Slow down there, big fella. You're distorting history.
I want to know this story. Yeah.
But so he applied it for federal judges.
No. Yeah, he applied it for federal judges after the Republicans in a break with historic precedent refused to allow up or down votes on President Obama's judges and President Obama's appointments and up and down the line. It was unprecedented. There were more filibusters during the Obama years than the previous century, okay, of judicial nominees. What you guys did on the right was unprecedented. And in a move of desperation, Obama said, hey, and Harry Reid said, hey, I'm an institutionalist, but we're going to get no judges at all unless we. And you had vacancies on the court all over the country, and the wheels of justice were grinding to a halt. So they did that, and the risk was, well, if you do that now, then you're setting a precedent. But again, my point is, the filibuster for judges is dead. It doesn't matter. If they can execute the nuclear option,
why slow it down? Right.
Then what is this? It's all a bunch of song and dance and hooey. I personally, though, am not 100% sure that they're going to be able to do that.
Really?
And because you're going to have there are a lot of Republicans, institutionalists, who don't want to give that away.
You think by giving up the nuclear option or going that route that there would be Republican senators who would say, I don't want to be involved in this because you're ruining precedent or you're setting a precedent.
You're destroying the
Senate.
It's still politically not a smart move to do this, to put a filibuster on a guy who's eminently qualified, a Jimmy Stewart with a 150 IQ with jurisprudence.
But Democrats would say that's not the case.
It would be different if you had a weaker candidate. Yeah, but Gorsuch is not that.
But why not? What is the political damage you see coming to the Democratic Party? Because I got to tell you, the Republicans just said no for 8 solid years, and they have a House, the Senate, and the White House.
How about a justice who is to the right of Gorsuch coming after Gorsuch with 51 votes approval?
Well, we'll see if they get it.
Well, but do you see the point?
Yeah, no, I see the point.
But making is
But I think that Chuck Schumer said it best yesterday. Since we're going to quote senators, apparently both quoting Democrats, but Chuck Schumer said it best yesterday. He said, look, if you can't get 60 votes, instead of just throwing away the filibuster, get a better candidate.
No, you're a better candidate. Give me a break.
Gorsuch is a right wing extremist. Are you familiar with some of what he's done to
Bader
human
Ginsburg
rights?
Ruth Bader Ginsburg complimented him. The Solicitor General under Obama wrote an op-ed in the New York Times supporting him. You're wasting fire on a guy who's the Jimmy Stewart. Who's going to be the Jimmy Stewart on the Supreme Court?
Yeah, the Jimmy Stewart with a fascist streak.
Yeah, well,
that will destroy individual rights.
I think it's just.
No, I'm sorry. Look at what he did to that poor trucker.
Oh, come on.
That poor trucker was
insane.
Give me a break.
Is that the best you could do, Dave? Come on.
No, there's cases galore where Gorsuch has failed to stand up for individual rights.
I could run a semi truck through your arguments right now.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, go ahead. You are escalating.
Show me where Gorsuch has stood up for individual rights against the corporation.
In about the last 50 years. The only time you had a threat of a filibuster was by the Democrats, and that was with Rehnquist and Alito, and Democrats did that. You have to go back to 1888.
Democrats didn't filibuster Rehnquist and Alito.
They attempted to.
No, they didn't attempt
the cloture,
to. They didn't do it.
The cloture. Yeah, that's because they couldn't get cloture to cut off the debate. You have to go back to 1888. That's the last time a justice was put on the court where the party in the Senate was opposite from the White House.
You know what I would say, though, Chris, is that I've heard a lot of this today, and I've heard the response being what was done to the judge in the last year, Merrick Garland, constitutes the same concept of a filibuster.
Yeah.
This idea that there was not even a proceeding. They wouldn't even sit down and talk to him. There is something to be said that the numbers of going back and making historical precedent don't work when you just did it last year.
The Constitution does it say you have to do a hearing. And in fact, that's like a fairly new convention. And it's strictly
if you define new as centuries.
Like, yeah, but 1912. But
105, the century.
It's for the benefit of the senators. It's not constitutionally required. And yeah.
Neither is a State of the Union address.
They took a pass in a presidential year.
The words in February of a presidential year. There was a whole year left. Right. Presidents are not elected to 3-year terms. They're elected to 4-year terms.
It's getting salty in here. I like it. Verona, hold on. Chris Verona, Dave Lundy. Let's take a break. Well, cool out, guys. Let's cool out on Touche 720 WGN.
I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touche. You go right,
you go left, you go left. It's Touche here on the Download 720 WGN. We have not stopped arguing since
That's what breaks are for. For those on the internet, haven't they been able to watch?
I think it goes to break on the people on Michigan Avenue got to watch.
So that's good.
Yeah. Dave Lundy, Chris Veronis in studio. Touche every Monday night here. All right, so you know, obviously, we are continuing to talk about the Supreme Court nomination and what's going to happen with the Senate. Are we going to see a filibuster? Are we going to see a nuclear option? Looks like we're heading towards a nuclear option, which sets precedent, a very dangerous precedent for the next Supreme Court justices that might come along. Let's talk also about unmasking. This word is becoming the new narrative. You know, the word narrative is used all the time now. Unmasking is the new word that's being used, and we're hearing it today.
Am I supposed to take off my mask at this point?
Let's talk about Susan Rice unmasking intelligence sources. Is this a scandal? Chris Veronis.
I think it was alleged that Susan Rice was the person. Frankly, I'm of the mind that all of the above should be investigated. This is illegal, okay? I mean, if there's anything that's like plain black and white illegal, it is this.
Which?
the unmasking of...
Not illegal. No, leaking might be illegal, but unmasking, not illegal. She was the national... If it was Susan Rice, she's the national security
advisor. So that's
part
of this. Right. The leak to the media, that is part of this.
Yes.
Right. And so all of this should be investigated as far as I'm concerned.
Scandal, Dave Lundy?
Look, if somebody leaked... leaks are always a problem. It's been going on since literally the founding of the Republic. There are times when leaking is a big problem. I'm far more concerned about the foreign power that may have conspired to take over our government and elect Donald Trump than I am about a leak that Susan Rice may have made of a guy who, it turns out, was a foreign agent undisclosed at the time.
Is that the idea? Is the idea here to put in the connecting the dots that they're saying that they're alleging that Susan Rice was unmasking these to be able to tell people about it?
It's not clear what they're actually alleging at this point. It's only clear that Susan Rice apparently did request certain things to be unmasked,
in an op-ed today that said that's the job of a national security advisor. I mean, you want to know she has the legal authority to be able to ask those questions.
But every day a new story breaks about the Russia connection. And today the story that broke in the Washington Post late this afternoon was about how Eric Prince, the American mercenary, owner of Blackwater and brother to the Education Secretary Betsy DeVos, apparently
small world,
had a secret meeting in the Seychelles, a back channel meeting to Vladimir Putin with some Russian emissary with the purpose of opening a back channel to Putin.
Trump administration. That's the alleged.
For the Trump administration.
Alleged, right.
Trump administration denies it. And, of course, they never lie. We're going to have to wait and see what the investigation exposes. But, again, this is why you need to have an investigation.
Let me ask you guys this.
I really want to read this Washington Post article. I mean, it's almost like...
I would
like,
encourage you. It's online.
It's almost like conspiracy theories are in vogue nowadays.
I was going
to
say...
And no political party is immune to them.
But it feels like what we've had here, and I don't know if it's... I think that you could make an argument that this is politics, but it seems like both parties have sort of launched investigations into the other in this way of, like, I don't know if it's like a smoke screen, if it's whatever.
There's
but
wild allegations flying around, and
wild facts flying around.
Do you know for a fact that meeting happened?
No, I don't know for a fact that meeting happened. However, I do know for a fact that that Flynn was paid by numerous Russian entities, didn't disclose that fact, was providing back-channel information to the Russians, was a paid employee of the Russian propaganda arm, and was a foreign agent for Turkey. That I know. Those are facts, and there's a whole lot of other facts. We know Carter Page was in Moscow. We know that Paul Manafort changed the platform at the behest of Donald Trump to get the language on Russia softened on Ukraine. I mean, these are facts. It's not
a
conspiracy. What we don't know.
It's a Republican Congress that's investigating this.
Yeah, be worried. Be very worried. That's why you need an independent investigation.
Nothing will satisfy you, even with
an independent investigation
together in that press conference.
An independent investigation, a 9/11 style commission outside of politics, would satisfy me, and it would satisfy every Democrat I know. No, I would not be qualified because I'm a partisan.
You are qualified, Dave. Don't say that about yourself.
Thank you. So, meanwhile, speaking of conspiracies, back here at home.
Yeah, let's wrap up at home.
We have local elections tomorrow.
Bingo.
And there are proxy wars going on all over Illinois, including in my hometown of Wilmette.
Okay, so when you say proxy wars, you mean, so we're talking about the mayor of Aurora, the mayor of Bolingbrook, Board of Education slots and trustees in Wilmette.
And New Trier.
So these... What do you mean proxy war?
Well, so in the case of the stuff I'm familiar with in New Trier, there are a number of PACs that were created to support candidates who are billing themselves as nonpartisan but are actually doing the work of the New Trier Republican Organization and these other organizations. There's the Restoration Pact funded by Richard Uihlein, who's a partner of Dan Proft.
So so PACs are putting money into
local races.
Local races, like for Board of Ed spots.
Yeah, no, they're for mayor's races. There's a big proxy war in Bolingbrook. There's a in Aurora, the governor's folks managed to knock off Linda Chapalavia, who was the leading candidate for mayor until she didn't even make the runoff.
Let me ask you, both. You guys have been consultants and analysts for years. What's the proxy part? I mean, what's the advantage for a Bruce Rauner or a Mike Madigan to hold the mayor of Aurora's seat?
You know, I personally think this is about, if you take over local governments, you're training candidates who can then take over, you know, state seats. Look, this is not the first time this has been done. Back in the 80s and 90s, the religious right did this all over the country, where they took over local school boards to try to change policy, and then those people went on to be Congress, et cetera.
I mean, so everyone who opposes a Democratic agenda can't or shouldn't.
I didn't say that. I didn't say that. What I said is that these people, it's a well-organized machine. Dan Proft, the Illinois Opportunity Project, does candidate training. These candidates then run for office, and they then try to get them to run for higher office.
Here's
higher
what we'll
office.
Do. We got to roll because we got
to. WillMetFriends.com is where you could look for information on tomorrow's election of WillMet.
There you go. WillMetFriends. All right. So we will definitely see what happens in those races. We can talk about it the next Touche. Chris Veronis, Dave Lundy in studios. Thanks, guys.
See you.